Well, I am happy to be here tonight. Today, a brother asked if I was going to be the speaker tonight. And I told him yes, that I was. I was going to try. And he says, well, I don't know how you can stay awake. Because we've been up since last night about 5 o'clock when we left town, left Independence to come to the Colorado reunion. And I said, well, I was going to try to do the best I could. And then he said, well, can we all leave if you go to sleep? And I thought about that for a minute, and I believe I said yes to him at the time. But then I got to thinking after I got home, you know, you would all leave so noisy, you would disturb me. So don't do it. Don't do it. Just holler at me or whistle or something, and I'll try to go right on with my sermon. Christ said in the Book of Mormon, and blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day, for he shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And that's what we are tonight. That's where we stand tonight. We are the Church of Christ. We are part of his kingdom. And if we remain faithful, we will be lifted up at the last day. And that's why you and I are here tonight, to try to remain faithful to the Word of God. And I'd like to read out of the Book of Mormon, page 224, if you want to follow along. And on verse 8, on page 224, and now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. Oh, glorious message. We are children of Christ. We are his sons and daughters. And it is glorious. It is wonderful. It's a good feeling here, deep within your breast, to be able to be called the children of Christ. Think about it. Doesn't it give you a good feeling? Doesn't it warm your heart? For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye that your hearts are changed through faith on his name, therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters. And under this head ye are made free. And there is no other head whereby ye can be made free, only Christ. That is the only way that you can attain salvation. The only way that we can attain true freedom. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient to the ends of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found at the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. And along with this, I'd like to go over to the Bible and read out of John, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever should believeth him should have eternal life. And again, that's why we're here tonight, to attain that great prize, that final prize, eternal life. We go through our earthly lives trying to follow after God's commandment that we may be able to qualify ourselves for that reward, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now I've read a little tonight about that great and final reward that we're all looking forward to, eternal life. But brothers and sisters, I'll tell you tonight, there's more to it. There's more to it than eternal life. I could preach to you tonight about repentance. I could preach to you tonight about your sins. I could preach tonight about any number of subjects. But I choose to preach tonight about His goodness. His goodness to us daily. The things that He does for you and I each day that make this life worth living. Not only shall we look forward down the road some to eternal life, not only should we think of that last great reward that we're seeking, but we should also think of the things that He can do for us today. That not only He can do for us, but He does for us, for each and every one of us, if we so let Him. If we so place ourselves in His hand, if we so humble ourselves before Him, He will do those things for us that we stand in need of. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, brothers and sisters, He was talking about our everyday life. Because if you go back and look at these verses in John, you'll find that he's being compared to a shepherd who takes care of his flock daily, who watches over their every need. A shepherd will do this for his flock. This is the same way it is with you and I. God will watch over our daily needs. He will supply us with that which we stand in need of. He'll help us with our health. He'll give us joy. He'll give us peace. He'll give us material blessings. He'll give us protection. And He'll give us hope. Hope. Job said, after much pain and disillusionment, man is born of woman, is of few days, and full of trouble. But you know, Jesus, when He was here in the flesh, when He was going about His ministry, He made the blind see. He made the deaf hear. He cleansed the leper. He raised the dead. He made the lame walk. And all these things that Christ done in those days, we can have today. Not only can we have them, brothers and sisters, we do have them in the Church of Christ. We do have them. I have been places and I have heard people say, why don't we have the blessings that they had in days of old? Brothers and sisters, open your eyes. Look around. And you will see daily people being healed under the power of the Spirit of God. You will see people that are downtrodden being lifted up by the power of Christ. Yes, He is working today among us. If we'll just open our eyes and look around. I'd like to turn over to Psalms now. And I'm going to read the 30th Psalm. Only two verses in the 30th Psalm, verses 4 and 5. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And you know, to qualify ourselves for these blessings that I have been talking about, we must be fast to give thanks. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life, weeping may endure for him. In his life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And my lack of sleep's catching up with me. The words are running together. Daniel of old said, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Yes, we're promised joy. We should be a happy people. We should be happy above all other people of the earth because we have Christ with us. We have that Spirit with us daily that gives joy. Not the joy that the world knows. Not worldly pleasure that the movies, that sporting events, that the theater, that dancing, or whatever gives. That is a fleeting joy. But the joy of Christ is deep. The joy of Christ is everlasting. It overshadows all these other earthly and worldly joys that each of us might experience from time to time. Psalm 5 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them that love thy name be joyful in thee." The 146th Psalm says, "Happy is he that the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Throughout the Bible, you'll find that we're told to be joyful. We're told to be joyful. We're told to spread this joy too. Peter says, "If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Now, you know, that's hard to understand. I try to think, well, what could Peter have in mind when he says, if you suffer, you're happy? I can't imagine suffering and being happy in my own mind. But if you think of it in a Christ-like way, that you're going to suffer for Christ's sake, that you're going to suffer to take this gospel into the world, to further it throughout the world, then I can see how happiness could be. The Bible says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And how many times have we seen this? How many times have we been down in the dumps? How many times have we been sorrowful about some situation in our lives? And it breaks our spirit. It makes us feel, makes us feel terrible. But yet when we start dwelling on the things of God, when we start talking to our friends and neighbors about Christ, how do we feel then? How do we feel then? We feel that Spirit pour in us. We feel that happiness and that joy come upon us that the world can't understand unless they partake of it. Along with this happiness and this joyfulness should go enthusiasm. We should have enthusiasm for this work. Brothers and sisters, we have a couple of salesmen in the room that do a lot of sailing to make their living in this world. And if they go out and try to sell their product without enthusiasm, without a belief in what they're trying to do, without a belief in that product they're trying to sell, they fail miserably. They find that they come home at the end of the month and they're broke. They don't have any money. They couldn't sell their product. Brothers and sisters, we're selling Christ to the world. We have a product that is above all other products in this world. And we should have enthusiasm for it. We should be super salesmen for Christ. We should show that enthusiasm to the world. I'm going to turn over to Revelation now, and I'm going to read a few verses that I'm sure a lot of you could quote. It's in the third chapter of Revelation. I'm going to start at the 15th verse, if you want to turn over there. I know thy works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is Christ speaking. This is Christ telling us that we must have that enthusiasm. We must have a burning for Christ within us. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And how many do you hear now that say, well, things are going well with me. I don't need God now. But as soon as things start going sour, as soon as we lose our job, as soon as we find someone sick in a hospital, as soon as some trial comes upon us that we can't cope with, then we turn to Christ. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thou the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's talking to this church of Christ. And he's telling us that if we're willing, if we're able, he wants us to sit with him on his right hand. If we're able to give of the time and the energy and show that enthusiasm for him. You know, we become slothful, the Bible says. And slothful means lazy and inactive. And how many times do we see ourselves becoming lazy and inactive? How many times do we see ourselves on a Wednesday night or some evening service say, well, I've got too much to do, I think I'll just stay home tonight. How many times do we find ourselves when we have people to visit in the hospital say, I'll go see them tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and the first thing you know, they're gone home, or worse yet, passed away. How many times do we put off doing the work of Christ to tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes? Brothers and sisters, that's being lazy. That's being inactive. That's not doing the things that God would have us to do. Hebrews 6:12 says that be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Book of Mormon, page 252, verse 51 says, and behold, I say unto you, that this is not all. For oh, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is another thing. Peace that we look forward to. This is one of the things that God will give us daily. Psalms 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And we do love the law of Christ. We love the law of Christ, or we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't take the time out of our busy schedules to come to this place if we didn't love the law of Christ. And the Bible tells us if we love that law, then we have a claim on the promise of peace. I believe I've seen a good example of this because it was right in my own family. And I hope my wife will forgive me for telling this. But she had an operation not too long ago, a couple of 3 months ago. And the night before the operation, I went into the hospital to visit with her before the operation. And oh, was she upset. Oh, was she agitated. Oh, did she have fear in her heart. She begged me to take her home. She cried. Because of the fear of the unknown. So I had to leave because I'm a softie, you know. I would have taken her home. But I knew it was best that she stayed there. So I left, and my sister-in-law went back. And I went back the next morning to be with her while she was operated on. And she told us that after I left, she asked God for peace. And she claimed the promise that it says here that those that love the law have great peace. Brothers and sisters, you and I can claim that promise too. If we have agitation within our hearts, if we have fear, if we have upsets, we too can claim that promise of peace. You know, brothers and sisters, we have material blessings. We are blessed materially more than any other people in this world. And we of the Church of Christ are blessed materially. And God says if we will prove Him, if we will do His bidding, if we will follow after Him, He will increase another blessing that God gives us other than eternal life. Before I left home, I just received Guidepost magazine. And as soon as I receive the magazine, I like to sit down and read it. And being the toughie that I am, I cried through the first three stories. But the second story in this month's Guidepost illustrates, I think, my next heading, and that's protection. And if any of you receive Guideposts, you'll probably remember this story. It was about the young lady who was kidnapped. She was standing on a street corner, and a couple of men come up and ask her directions. And she gave them directions to a place, and they grabbed her and they took her into the van. She let out a scream, and her parents ran out of the house because she was right in front of the house. And they had the presence of mind to take down the license number. And the father in the story said he wanted to chase after them in his car, but he couldn't find his keys. And he had all kinds of trouble. And by the time he got started, they were gone. So they called the police. But not only did they call the police, but if you read the story, you'll find that they called their friends and their neighbors. And they asked them to pray with them for her safe return. Not only did they call her friends and neighbors, but their friends and neighbors called other people. And they had people all over the city praying for them. And the story is told quite well. It's right at first, after they dragged her into the van, one of the men was starting to molest her, and he stopped. And as they were going on down, they got on the freeway and were heading out of town, and they heard a helicopter, and they thought that this helicopter was a police helicopter. And so they drove over the side. Instead of throwing her out, they gently lifted her out and laid her on the ground. When she got back to the house unharmed, one of the policemen made a statement. He said maybe they were afraid of being caught. Or maybe it was God's hand. And I believe it was God's hand and the prayers of all those people in her behalf. And we can have that same protection. We, the members of the Church of Christ, who have a direct line to our Heavenly Father, who claim to be His people, His sons and His daughters. Oh, brothers and sisters, I've seen prayer answered. I've seen people administered to and be healed. Don't tell me we don't have the Spirit of God within this church. Christ said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Christ said, my peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The next heading is hope. Do we place our hope in Christ, or do we put it some other place? Do we put it in our great technology of this land? Do we put our hope in the government? Do we put our hope in our own selves, in our own abilities? The Bible tells us to put our hope in Christ. Do we put our hope in the medicine of the day? Or do we put our hope in Christ? I'd like to read out of Romans now on hope. I'm going to read out of the 5th chapter of Romans and start right at the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access to, by faith, and to this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope. I'd like to turn over now and read out of Psalms again. Psalm 71. And again, I'm going to start the first verse. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's what we have to say. That's what we have to do. We have to entirely put ourselves in God's trust, relying on His goodness, relying on his promises. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. He is. He's a rock that we can stand on. He's a rock that we can cling to. He's a fortress in time of trial. A fortress in time of trouble. A protector. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I've made a complete circle. I started out telling us that we have that salvation to look forward to, that hope of eternal life. And now I'm right back to it again. Because it says in the Bible, if in this life only we have a hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. The Book of Mormon says that you of the church, and we are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And that's what we want to do. We want to so qualify ourselves tonight to be able to have that hope that God will take care of our every need, that God will watch over us, guide our every movement until we rest with Him in heaven. My last reading tonight will be out of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6th verse. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The Bible tells us that we must be a humble people. And if we are humble, God will exalt us. We don't have to exalt ourselves. We don't have to build ourselves up. Because if we are the humble followers of God, He will take care of that. Casting all your care upon Him. And why? Because He careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to close tonight with a poem, and it goes like this. Out of life's misery, born of man's sin, a fuller, richer life begins. For when we are helpless with no place to go, and our hearts are heavy, and our spirits are low, If we place our poor broken lives in God's hands and surrender completely to His will and demands, the darkness lifts and the sun shines through, and by His touch we are born anew. So praise God for trouble that cuts like a knife and disappointments that shatter your life. For with patience to wait and faith to endure, your life will be blessed and your future secure. For God is but testing your faith and your love before He appoints you to rise for above. All the small things that so sorely distress you, for God's only intention is to strengthen and bless you. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your kind attention.